it's here and now. And if you've been listening to NPR this week, you've probably heard about something called the T-shirt Project. Months ago, NPR's Planet Money had the idea to design a T-shirt and follow it around the world as it gets made. It's a regular shirt, not organic cotton, not made in the U.S. And from factories in Bangladesh and Colombia to cotton farms in Mississippi and container ships crossing oceans, their reporting took the team around the globe. Joining us now to talk about it is the leader of the project and contributing editor for NPR's Planet Money, Alex Blumberg. Alex, welcome.
Thanks.
Well, the reporting has been great. The videos are great. We've got a link online at hereandnow.org. But what sparked this project?
You know, this is something we do at Planet Money from time to time, is sort of report on something by actually participating in it. And Planet Money's co-founder, Adam Davidson, sort of came up with this idea. We were actually inspired by a book, The Travels of a T-Shirt in the Global Economy. And our thinking was that a T-shirt is really an amazing lens into this global economy that we all live in, but we don't really think about that much. You know, all these items that we buy, that we wear, you know, there's this huge world behind them that has participated in creating them. And it's a world that involves people from rich countries and poor countries and people with advanced degrees and people working for some of the lowest wages in the world. And they're all participating in the creation of this object that a lot of times we just take for granted. And so we thought if we look at this simple item, we can actually bring the story of that world home to people.
Well, and you use the word simple there. It doesn't get much more simple than a T-shirt when it comes to clothing. But in fact, you found it's just the opposite. What makes it so complicated to make a T-shirt and get it to a consumer in the U.S.?
One of the most surprising things that I discovered doing this project was how much thought, time, effort, energy, creativity goes into making a basic commodity project like a T-shirt. Just the yarn. So if you look at a T-shirt or any item of clothing you're wearing, there's like these little lines, and that we would probably call thread. In the industry, it's actually called yarn. Hmm. And that little strand of cotton, there are years and hours of, you know, time gone into developing that yarn. Every strand of yarn has its own recipe, basically.
Wow.
So what kind of cotton goes into it? How twisted is it? How uniform is it? How hairy it is? All that stuff has a huge impact on how the piece of clothing feels on your body, how it performs, how it holds up. And these recipes are so important that they wouldn't even tell us the recipe for our own yarn. You know, we partnered with this company, Jockey, and we asked them, like we said, you know, we would like to put this recipe, they call it the spec sheet, we would like to put it up online just for, it would be interesting for our viewers to see. And they nixed that idea.
No, I don't believe so.
That's our special sauce.
So you heard Randy Schilling from Jockey and his boss Marion Smith there. And, you know, basically what we realized is the recipe for yarn is sort of like the recipe for Coke. It's super secret. They will never reveal it to you.
The other thing that is not secret but unknown is the effect that this has on the countries where these things are made. And you focused in particular on Bangladesh and Colombia. Tell us about that, about the effect that this has on the people living in these countries.
So Bangladesh, I think, is the fourth largest clothing exporter to the United States right now. You know, an enormous amount of the clothing we wear is made in Bangladesh. And the garment industry is having a profound transformative effect on life there. The reason the global garment industry is flocking to Bangladesh is because people there work for some of the lowest wages in the world.
Right.
Up until very recently, the minimum wage in Bangladesh was $39 a month. They just raised it this week to a little less than $70 a month. But that still puts it pretty much at the bottom of almost every apparel-making country in the world. And so our question was, what are the lives of workers there like, and what is driving them to work in these factories where it's, you know, sort of hard, long hours, menial work for very, very low wages? What is driving them? Because there's 4 million people working in the garment industry in Bangladesh. So a lot of people are making this choice to leave whatever they're doing and come and work in the garment industry. And so what we did is we found two sisters who made our T-shirt, the Planet Money T-shirt. They worked in the factory that we contracted with. And they told us a story that is, I think, pretty typical of a garment worker in Bangladesh. They were born in a rural village. They grew up there. And these rural villages in Bangladesh, the poverty is, I think, hard for people in Western countries to even relate to. They had three sisters who died when they were children. The story was they were eating dirt or brick dust, and the family wasn't able to pay the medical bills to get them treated. Caitlin Kenny was the reporter who went to Bangladesh, and she was talking to one of the sisters, Shumi, and just remembering this time was very emotional for Shumi.
We eat three times, but sometimes our parents are not eating because the lack of foods. They just give their foods to us because we are little.
If I ask you to close your eyes and picture what it was like when you were growing up, you know, what do you see? What do you feel? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry.
That situation where, like, where, you know, starvation is a very real and present threat. I think a lot of people in Bangladesh are facing that situation. And so when these sisters moved to the city to get factory jobs, there was a very small but very material bump up in their standard of living. They were now able to afford food that they weren't able to afford before. They send money back to their parents. And so what looks from the outside like a pretty wretched living. I mean, they live in a tiny room, three people in this one room. They don't have running water. They have a small gas stove to cook with. It's still a slight improvement over what they left behind.
Although there are, of course, risks, and we heard about them most notably in the Rana Plaza collapse, this clothing factory in Bangladesh that collapsed and killed more than 1,000 workers. So still a lot of risks to the job.
Absolutely. And that is the tragic reality. And that's what we were wrestling with, is sort of when you have so many people living in such desperate circumstances, they can be driven to choices that ultimately end up obviously much, much worse.
Well, we will keep listening for your reporting through the rest of the week on All Things Considered and Morning Edition. And we've got these videos at our website, hereandnow.org. They will maybe make you cry. They will certainly make you think. Alex Blumberg, contributing editor for NPR's Planet Money. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.